Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The words of Christ are clear, but that does not mean they are always easy to understand. On the night our Lord was betrayed, he spoke very clear words to his disciples, "In a little while you will not see me, and then after a little while you will see me." But they did not understand. He was going to the Father, but he spared them the horrific details of his bloody death. He loved them too much. He knew it would be too much for them in that moment, so he spoke softly to them to spare them from grief's magnitude. Many people wanted to crucify him. Many wanted to get rid of him. Many mocked and taunted him to prove his divinity. Many sneered at him. The world rejoiced at his death, while the disciples hid away in fear, grief, and mourning. They could not help him. They wanted to save him, but there was nothing that they could do. But this is why he came. Resolutely, he processed toward Calvary to set man free from the bondage of sin and death. This is why he came into the world. He had told them all this many times before, but they forgot his words. He had told them of all the events of Holy Week, yet they forgot his words. His words were clear, but they forgot. And so they mourned and grieved as if they had no hope. It's worldly sorrow, worldly grief. But on that third day when they saw him, their hearts were overjoyed. The woman's report, the angel's words, the empty tomb, the strips of linen, Christ himself appearing in their midst, though the doors were locked. They were overjoyed that Christ was alive and risen. Now they remembered his words. And being filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, they remembered everything that he had taught them, and it brought them great joy. So when they themselves were led before the Sanhedrin and were beaten and flogged, they walked away rejoicing. When they suffered afflictions, they were overflowing with joy. Why? Because they remembered the words of Christ. They encourage you to do the same. Remember the words of God. For the word of God is clear. It is the only source of doctrine, life, and conduct. It never errs, never goes out of date. It never is useless. It is all that we need. Only the word of God reveals that loving and gracious God who would not spare his son, but gives his son to spare us who are unworthy sinners. That word of God is clear. But that does not mean it is always easily understood. It's not the word's fault. Our weak flesh clouds Scripture's clarity. Our perceptions of what life should be replace what God has said a Christian life will be. Our preconceived notions of who God is and how he should deal with me displace what God has revealed about himself and how he has promised to deal with us. None of us is above it. We're all sinners. We've all come to a wrong conclusion about God's word at some point in our life before. As our ideas are confused with God's word, our wants and desires seen as the very will of God, our opinions and traditions viewed as the way it has to be or else death and hell. None of us is above it. Even I myself am not above it. We must daily repent, then, and daily pray to God to stifle our selfish hearts and to open our eyes to the beauty of his gracious word. Then we will face all things with joy. The disciples forgot the word of Christ, so they sorrowed and grieved without any hope, and St. Paul says, worldly sorrow brings death. We've gone through troubles in our past, and we will most certainly face them in the future as well. But the Word of God grants us patience. So remember those clear words of God. The Word gets us through the highs and the lows of life as it constantly holds before our eyes a gracious and most merciful God who desires not the death of a sinner, but that all would come to Him and receive His forgiveness that He won, fully and freely. This clear Word of God stands firm as society protests policies and agendas. It fosters godly patience as we wait for His deliverance in His time and in His way. Who of us has such patience? Who of us has such patience? Especially in this age of immediate gratification. We can get what we want and we can get it that very moment. We can even pick and choose the very things we want to do in a day. And we see our spouse and our children as simply things meant to make me happy. Self-gratification drives a lot of what we do, if not most of what we do. And it is not good. So when things don't go the way that we want and don't go according to our plans and we don't get our way, we gripe and we mope and we complain about this person or that policy or those protesters. It's worldly sorrow. It's worldly sorrow, and St. Paul says it brings only death. It hurts us. We want to fix it. So fine, fix it if you are able to. But do not let it consume you. The reason you gripe and complain about others so often, the reason that you're so distraught and frustrated with politics, work, or life, is because you forget the Word of God. You forget the clear words of God. And what I mean is this. You're not looking at these things through the lens of Scripture, but you're trying to deal with your life apart from Scripture. And so it makes no sense. Learn from ancient Israel. The more Israel focused on the bite of the fiery serpents, the more they died. The more we focus on our earthly things, the more we die. The more we have worldly sorrow, and it leads only to death. But when Israel focused on that bronze serpent lifted up on the pole, they were healed and had life. So fix your eyes on Christ. I cannot stress it enough. I can't say it enough. Look at Christ. Back to Him. Back to His Word. Back to His promises. Back to the clear forgiveness of God that sets you free from all things. The greater the trial, the more you need that Word. The more a problem takes up time in your life, the more you need to meditate and ponder on that clear words of God, Christ crucified. Back to Christ crucified. Where else will you find a gracious God if not at that cross? Where else will you find a merciful God who desires to rid you from all of life's problems and adversities if not at that cross? Where else will you find joys beyond your imagination, if not in Christ? The Lord will be gracious to you. He has washed you, sealed you in His very blood. Patiently wait for His return. The Christian is not swayed by the things of this world. He is not swayed by how much it hurts or by trying to free himself from this hurt. He is swayed and controlled solely by the Word of God, solely by the forgiveness Christ won on that cross. He holds to the Word. He clings to the comfort of the Word that this sadness too will pass. In a little while, soon, you will see Him with your very own two eyes. How your heart yearns within you. So right now we should not dwell so much on politics or the media's agendas or on protests or on all these other things. But let us evermore diligently focus on the Word of God. Let us listen to what God says to us. Let us discuss this Word with one another with joy. It is the only eternal topic we have to talk about. Let parents teach their children the word so they too may learn to view all things and to make sense of this life through the lens of Scripture. Our poor children face enough societal pressures and at such a young age. Give to them Christ. Give to them the words of God so they too may have a strong foothold as they grow and become part of this world. Fix their eyes on Christ crucified for their salvation. Judge all things by the word of God. That includes politics and policies and media's agendas and your life and your words and the words of others and your relationships. Judge all things by the word of God. Then you will know what is good and right and true. But to do that, you first must know what the word of God says. So diligently study the word, not out of force, but out of pure joy and gladness. And then you will have that true joy, a lasting joy, even as tears flow down your cheeks. You will have joy like the apostles, and no one can take it away. You will still mourn, but not like the world. You will still grieve and lament, but not like the world. Your griefs and laments are over sin. That this is the way things are because of sin. That these are the things in life we must deal with because of sin. Only the Word will teach you that. But only the Word offers the solution as well. Christ crucified. For with sin removed by His death, so too are these troubles removed. In a little while, in God's time and in God's way. So back to Christ, back to His word. It is clear. It is powerful. Let it guide your life, your thoughts, your perceptions of this world, your view of your own life. Let it lead you back to Christ crucified. For then you will be able to confess with Saint Paul, "In all my afflictions, I am overflowing with joy. For Christ lives, so too must I live." Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.